The views and opinions expressed by individuals on the following program do not necessarily reflect those of the network, Guys Guy Radio, and its platforms. It's Guys Guy Radio. Here's your host, Robert Manny.
Welcome to Guys Guys Radio. This is your host, Robert Manny, welcoming you to the show where men and women can be at their best and everyone wins, Guys Guys Radio. We're here to inform you, inspire you, empower you, and get you to think, feel, and who knows, maybe even act by virtue of the journeys, stories, experiences, and insights of the guests I bring you each and every week to the show. And once again, this week is no exception. Today, we're going to talk about intergalactic travel, interdimensional travel, galactic Akashic record reading, galactic history, and being an ET contactee. Our special guest, returning to the show for the third time, the amazing Debbie Solaris, probably the world's foremost expert in Akashic record readings. She's been on the show, as I mentioned, a few times, and started out way back when she was kind of just getting her start, and I think I was one of the first shows that she visited to be interviewed. Now she's a mainstay on Gaia. She's got a wonderful website. She teaches Akashic record readings worldwide. My wife took the course. It's amazing. And she has become a kind of a household name when it comes to Akashic records, because there are thousands of people waiting to get a reading. I was fortunate enough to have one a few years ago along with my wife, and Debbie is really amazing. She just kind of sinks in, and it all started out when she was an ET contactee. So what I want to do today with Debbie is get right into the beginning of how it happened for her, from a kind of a regular job, traditional lifestyle, to being abducted, if you will, by ETs, and then coming up with these gifts about being able to learn about the Akashic records and be able to tap into them, which she does via her guides on a daily basis. It's just amazing stuff. And I don't even have enough time in this show to go through all the stuff I'd like to discuss with her. But when she was awakened to her true star lineage and her higher calling, everything changed, and she does an amazing job in terms of discussing what Akashic records are, how they work, how they can be used to kind of get a sense as to where we come from, each one of us, and what part of the kind of star lineage we may have. And there's so much going on now, and people are opening up and learning more and more about who they are and where they're from. So I think you're really going to enjoy my conversation with Debbie Solaris right here on Guys Guys Radio.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
Okay, Guys Guys Radio, it is the interview portion of our show, and I'm delighted to bring back one of my favorite guests and favorite people, Debbie Solaris. Debbie is an amazing person. Let me tell a little bit about her. She's originally an ET contactee, so she was abducted by ETs, an interdimensional traveler, galactic Akashic record reader, and galactic historian. After her extraterrestrial contact experience a few years ago, Debbie awakened to her true star lineage and higher calling. And through the ancestral knowledge and connection with the Akashic records, she's been receiving downloads of galactic history and information and universal spiritual knowledge. And she feels there's a big part of her mission while here on Earth is to help awaken people, awaken their knowledge to their true divine selves and cosmic origins. It's really fascinating stuff. There's not too many folks doing it, and nobody does it like Debbie. She's now a worldwide brand, and I'm so thrilled that she's back, because she came on our show very early in the game, and she has just exploded her brand, and she's everywhere, and she's doing great work, and she's a really, really nice person also. So welcome back to Guys Guys Radio, Debbie Solaris.
Thanks for having me on. And I remember like a few years ago, you had me on. Like, I think I was one of your, I don't know if I was one of your first clients, but I was one of the early ones. And you know, we had so much fun back then. And it's cool to see that, you know, your podcast has grown and my work has grown, and, you know, just the journey that this is all taking us on. And and how we just continue to have fun together. You know, it's just so always so wonderful.
All good. And Debbie,
Yeah.
you've been on, with George Norrie on Gaia, with Regina Meredith, two top interviewers. So I'm delighted that you're back here with me on
Yeah.
Guys Guys Radio. For the folks who are not familiar with you and maybe have heard the term Akashic Records, but are not sure what that is, tell us what happened to you originally. You were abducted. You were a regular person working a regular corporate job, and then you got taken up to a
I know, I got
spaceship.
taken on a ship. Yeah, no, it was crazy, crazy story. It never gets any less crazy, but I actually feel very grateful I had that experience because it was life-changing. I mean, it changed completely changed my life, and now I not only got awakened to my, you know, innate gifts, you know, but I get to help a lot of people out there, you know. So it's a great thing. So the way the story started out, and I'll give you guys, because we only have a limited amount of
Yep,
time,
just a
I'll give you
snapshot.
the very short, the short version of the story. But so back in 2012, I was very unawakened. However, you know, I was starting to get some inklings about UFOs and ETs through my partner, my now husband. So he was interested in the paranormal, but I was very skeptical, so I didn't really buy into all the stories about the UFOs, but it was, I think, in a way, kind of opening me up to the possibility. But I would have never imagined that I would have my own experience. So back in 2012, I sent out this prayer to the universe, asking the universe for divine assistance for planet Earth, because I just felt like there was a lot of suffering here and it was needless suffering. It's been on too ongoing for way too long, and it's like, okay, we're in the 21st century now, why isn't this being eradicated, you know? So I sent this prayer out, and I never thought that my prayer would be answered or listened to, you know. I prayed like I normally do, and then, you know, went about, you know, my day-to-day life and forgot about it. 2 weeks later, I, you know, went to sleep as normal, but when I came back to consciousness, I was in a different reality. So I knew that, you know, something extraordinary was happening, because I found myself inside a extraterrestrial starship. And I could tell it was extraterrestrial because I've never seen anything like it. You know, it was just very different. And while I was on this ship, I had the opportunity to interact with extraterrestrial beings who told me they were from the star system of Arcturus. And they told me the location, that Arcturus is in the Bootis constellation. And I asked them, you know, why do you have me here? Because I'm nobody special. You know, I'm just a health inspector in Colorado Springs, you know. So they told me that I was part of their soul group, that I'd chosen to incarnate as human in order to help with the awakening and the ascension process on planet Earth, and that I was actually one of them. But I had forgotten my mission because I was so ingrained in, you know, the 3D density. And so they answered a lot of my questions about what was happening on planet Earth. And I had, you know, was able to see other parts of the ship. I was able to interact with other extraterrestrial beings, not necessarily Arcturians, but Pleiadians and, you know, other star races. And then I came back, and I was back in my bed. And when I came back to, I knew something extraordinary had happened. You know, I never had an experience like that. It was way, way, way beyond a dream. It was too real. You know, like when you're in the higher dimensions, everything's so like hyper real. You know, it's hard to explain, but it's like the details are really sharp, and I don't know, it's like you see 3D aspects of everything. It's just like, I don't know, it's just beautiful, and colors are more brilliant. So I knew I had an extraordinary experience, and I also knew that my life was never going to be the same. So I went from being completely asleep to being completely awakened in just one night, you know, where I totally knew what was, you know, happening and what was going on. What I did notice after that experience was that I was noticing that my extrasensory perception just completely expanded, where I could read frequency, I could read energy, I was seeing auras around people, I was seeing UFOs all the time, I was interdimensionally traveling, I was remote viewing, I was downloading, I mean, I was even telepathically tuning into people's thoughts. I mean, it was just crazy. And I thought at first I was losing it. I just thought, okay, I've gone crazy. So like anything else, I think when you're kind of wondering what's happening with you, at least this is, I'm a researcher, so I do a ton of research. So I'm like reading up on everything. I'm taking all these spiritual classes, and I live in Colorado, so there's a lot of spiritual offerings in Colorado. We're very awakened here, So I was having a, good time just, catching up on, spiritual information. And I was noticing that, a lot of the things I was seeing that, these massive downloads of galactic history, I was getting massive downloads of star races, their culture, their history, the star systems are connected with, where are these star systems located? And I was like, where am I getting this information? This is like weird, and so I was doing research, and I noticed there was other people talking about these things, So Edgar Cayce was as an example, Alex Collier, Elena Danan, Ismael Perez, I mean, there was a lot of other people talking about this stuff, So I didn't feel so weird anymore. I was like, okay, maybe there's something to this. But I really didn't get into doing Akashic readings until 2014. So 2 years had passed, and I was taking some Reiki courses, locally, here in my hometown of Castle Rock, which is just south of Denver. And I was talking to my Reiki teacher, and she was telling me that she thought I was getting this information from the Akashic records. I didn't even know what they were. But she told me she teaches people how to read them. So I said, well, that sounds like right up my alley. I need to learn this. So I took her classes. And even after level one, I started doing, reading semi-professionally, where I was, just starting to do this like as a side gig, just it was a, fun way to make some extra bucks, at least that's what I thought in the beginning. But I noticed I had a knack for it. And then as more and more people got to know me, they were just like, oh my God, you got to get a reading with Debbie. She's amazing. She really taps into the records way beyond Earth, and she taps into star systems and places that nobody else talks
I'm
about.
gonna butt in because I want to make sure that we get as much information for everybody out there as possible. During this time, okay, so you get taken, you wake up in a spaceship. Were you afraid? Number one. Number two, what did these folks look like, and did they communicate with you telepathically? Were you did they do any testing with you? Did they walk you around the ship? Did they tell you anything beyond the fact that, like, kind of we're related? And then did you go back to the ships? Were you taken again? And was it the same folks who took you again?
First of all, I wasn't afraid. I think I was just too busy trying to process what was happening to be afraid. And then when I met these extraterrestrial beings, they gave this, I mean, they just emit this love energy. I mean, there's just love and acceptance, and you can't feel afraid around them because they just bathe you in love, To answer your question about did they experiment on me? No, they did not. I think they did some sort of a healing because I used to get migraines all the time before I had that experience. And then after I had that experience, I have not had a migraine since. And it's been over 10 years, And I was getting migraines like at least once a quarter or once every 2 months, So
How
I
did
know
you,
something.
Debbie, how did you know the different types of races, and how did you know how to differentiate them in terms of what their looks and how they behaved and how they interact? Was this like a big Galactic Federation type ship that you were on, or was it a smaller ship, or and how did you make the distinction as to who's who?
Well, the Arcturians told me who they were. So, So I knew immediately, I mean, and they had this holographic sphere that I was in that, they were illustrating where their system was located in the galaxy. So I totally understood who they were. But honestly, some of the races I was running into, I didn't know what they were until later,
Okay.
So I knew that, oh yeah, they look extraterrestrial or they don't look like they're from Earth. They might, a lot of them were humanoid looking, but didn't necessarily look like they were from Earth. But I didn't necessarily at the time knew that they were Pleiadian or knew
Oh,
that they
okay.
were Sirian, I just knew that they weren't from Earth,
Do
so.
you still see them? Do they contact you still? And if so, how?
So to answer that question, I still have connections with the Arcturians every single day. So I'm part of their soul group. I'm connected. My guides are the Arcturian Collective, so I communicate with them every single day, but I don't necessarily see them. Like I saw them on the ship, so a lot of times it's more clairaudient how I connect with them. And it's kind of like if sometimes a running conversation, or sometimes, I'm just alone with my thoughts. But I do feel a constant connection with them. Occasionally, I do interact with other, races of beings, such as the Pleiadians, or Sirians, or Andromedans, those types of beings that are, benevolent beings. But that's kind of more on a need to know basis. If I need particular information that race specializes in, then sometimes my guides will say, "Hey, ask your Assyrian guides or ask your Pleiadian guides." But it just feels like a family. It doesn't feel weird or like, "Oh, I'm channeling this, weird entity." It feels like
So,
a family connection, like I'm hanging out with my Earth family kind of thing.
So what did they tell you about you kind of read they helped you rediscover yourself, I guess.
Yeah, oh, totally.
How did you learn about the, and could you provide a snapshot for our audience as to what are the main races that are out there that are tied into our planet? Because from what I've learned from you, Debbie, and looking at your website and watching a lot of videos and interviews, like the Earth got seeded by these other races, if you will, intergalactic races at a certain time. So I think people might be interested in who are they? Who are the main ones and why planet Earth and what's going on here now?
Yeah, that's a really big question.
That's what we do here.
I'm gonna have to give you the brief answer to that. But these races are interested in planet Earth because planet Earth is unique in that it could support a lot of different types of DNA. So these extraterrestrial beings, millions of years ago decided, okay, we're gonna come in and bring in DNA from all our different systems and just seed it on this planet, so it was considered to be like a living library, like it was kind of a depository of DNA from many different systems. And so in addition to that, they also tampered with and modified the human genome. So Earth humans are one of the few races, of probably the only race of beings that have an influence from as many different star genetics as I would say at least 22 races, but they think it might be even more than that. So we're this composite, this Heinz 57 of different star people that have all had their hand in manipulating the Earth genetics. And because of that, I think the galactic councils, that are in other star systems have a particular interest in Earth, So because we're this composite of many different genetics from many different star systems, we're able to ascend and to evolve a lot faster than other races and other systems previously. So it's kind of like an experiment of sorts, but it's also, I think they have a vested interest because we're the only race of beings on in this galaxy that have as much influence from different races as we do. So, So we're kind of unique, and they consider us to be galactic royalty. You know that I know that sounds crazy, you know, because in some terminology you might say, well, we're just a bunch of mutts, you know, from, you know, that are kind of a mix of, you know, many different races, but they consider it galactic royalty. So they have a vested interest in seeing this Earth planet su succeed, you know. So what happened quite a few million years ago was that there used to be a planet called Maldek, which was between Jupiter and Mars in our solar system. And there was negative factions from the Orion system that were colonizing Maldek. And because they were kind of a warring faction, there was a lot of conflicts in Maldek, and Maldek ended up blowing itself up. So now we have the asteroid belt. That's what's left of Maldek. And so because that happened in our solar system, these extraterrestrial councils do not want to see Earth doing the same thing to itself, you know. So when Earth went through World War I and World War II, they were concerned. You know, they were just like, you know, we can't have Earth blowing itself up, especially after Hiroshima. You know, that was pretty scary for them.
Sure.
So since World War II, I would say there's been more star souls, like souls that have, so I call them star seeds. You know, people call them star souls or different terminology, but there's been more of us, of older souls that have had prior incarnations in other systems that have incarnated on Earth than there ever has been in the history of planet Earth. And so a lot of us nowadays, even if we don't realize it, we might be a star seed, you know, so we might be a soul that had its origination from another system, but is currently having an Earth incarnation experience, you know. And a lot of times we have a contract with the planet. So I know that sounds kind of out there, but so as souls, we have a choice, you know, so we can choose to be you know, a part of a certain system or a planet. And we might have a contract that, you know, I'm going to be incarnating in this planet until it reaches the fifth dimension, or until the ascension happens, or until something, you know, shifts and changes, you know. And how many lifetimes we choose is totally dependent on us. So it's I know they talk about Earth souls being caught up in the false reincarnation matrix, which I do think that was going on for a while. So Earth souls didn't have an opportunity to evolve and grow because they were just kind of being recycled all the time. But that has been dismantled. So I think what we're going to end up seeing is even the younger Earth souls who are not star seeds are going to start incarnating in other systems, you know, so they're going to have an opportunity for that.
Debbie Solaris, Akashic Record Reader, Galactic Historian, my special guest on Guys Radio. So many questions I have. Some say that there's a Draco faction on Earth and a reptilian faction on Earth, and they're kind of like, I guess, kind of like they're kind of the bad guys, if you will. And then there's all these other groups that are, many of them are like good guys. So there's many groups. But that there is a claim made by the Dracos and the reptilians that they were here first, so they really feel like this, the Earth is theirs, and that they have kind of infiltrated a lot of our structures in our cultures, and that the kind of like it's like a white hat, black hat thing battle that's going on. And it seems like there's a lot going on behind the scenes that people are not aware of. And sometimes what we get on the news is just, I don't want to say it's just a distraction, but it's only part of the story, because the story becomes way deeper than that. What, in your estimation, and what you've been, what's been communicated to you, kind of what's going on with all of that? Because I also saw some scary stuff about the Dracos are now going to buddy up with the reptilians, and there's a whole force coming towards Earth, and there's going to be this huge, we have to figure out what to do, and there's going to be an intergalactic war and all this other stuff. And then you hear, excuse me, just the opposite, that we're going to blossom into 5D, and the world's going to be such a better place. And it's very confusing for those who are curious about what's really
Oh
going on.
yeah, totally. So I do believe we've averted that negative timeline. So I do think, the original timeline, which Nostradamus was, predicting way back in the day, which I 1500s or whenever he was around. So he's predicting this, apocalyptic ending for planet Earth. And I do believe that we averted that timeline. So we're on a different timeline now. So I don't think,
How do we do that for the folks who don't know about timeline and timeline shifting? What
so
happened?
it's through a collective. It's through because we're a free will universe, so just because something is predicted that could happen, it's just a probability. So we as a collective, so us all together as humanity, we can make decisions that could lead to a different outcome.
From
So
consciousness, right?
from consciousness, yeah. So because there's been so many of us that have been awakening, and we're, infusing higher dimensional energies into the planet, and we're doing good work, and we're trying to expand consciousness, that timeline was able to be averted. So whenever you make a decision, it could change the outcome. So
Got
that's what I mean by timelines shifting. The other thing I think you were asking me about was about the Dracos and how they ended up
And the
controlling.
reptilians, and what's the difference there? And are they like warring with each other, or are they, do they both have claims on the planet because they say that they were here first, and maybe some of them got driven underground, and then we're going to come back up, and so many different things that you
Oh,
hear.
I know. There's so many different stories, and I think there's a le level of truth to all of it. But so my understanding, and this is just based on, the work I've done with the Akashic Records, because I go into records all the time. Almost every day I go into the records, so what I saw was that when so Orion, which Orion is its own star system, it's a big constellation. We all, it's very prominent in the sky. We all see Orion every single night. But Orion went through its own conflicts, and there's a lot of wars in Orion. So there was, kind of similar to Star Wars, where there was, the Empire, the Draconian Empire, that was, like the Empire in Star Wars. And then you had the freedom fighters or the resistance fighters that were in the belt stars of Orion. And that faction wanted to maintain self-sovereignty. They didn't want to get assimilated into the Empire. So they were in constant battles with each other. And then eventually the light factions won out. So Orion is now shifted to light consciousness. But these Draco beings, or these reptilians, and these Zetas, and tall grays, and insectoid beings that didn't want to be assimilated into the light consciousness, had to find new territory to conquer. So they ended up coming to our solar system. So that's how they ended up in Maldek, which I mentioned earlier, because they were just looking for new horizons. And then they destroyed Maldek, inadvertently through a civil war. And so they had to go somewhere else. So some of them were incarnating in Mars. Mars actually used to be very inhabitable at one time. And then they were also incarnating on Earth. And I do think their story started way before Atlantis, so I always talk about how they infiltrated the Atlantean government and influenced them to go into war with Lemuria, which was another civilization similar to Atlantis that was in the Pacific Ocean. So in one ocean you had Atlantis, and then in the other ocean you had Lemuria, so they went into war with each other. But I think the reptilians were coming in and visiting Earth millions of years ago, even before Atlantis was a thing, so there was a lot of ET colonists that were visiting Earth, way before there was even civilizations here. And so these Draco beings, I don't know if they were the first or not, because the Sirians also claim that they were the first ones, which, who knows who's, I don't know who's telling the truth. I'm just saying,
So everybody's staking claim on planet Earth,
Oh,
basically. And
they,
we've got the good guys, kind of we got the bad guys and the good guys, and there's a lot of different races within them,
Oh, totally.
both
Yeah.
sides,
So,
right?
yeah. So just because you have Syrian factions doesn't mean all of them were benevolent, because there was a lot of serious sea beings that were visiting Earth, and they were hybrids, and they were, human reptilian hybrids, and they're what we now call the Anunnaki. So a lot of people have heard that terminology, and they were associated with the planet Nibiru, and so those beings weren't completely of the light, and not all the Draconians were evil. Maybe they were just looking for a place to experiment and create bigger versions of themselves. So that's where the dinosaurs came
Got it.
from, So,
Well, you go into Debbie, you go into the Akashic Records, and that's one of the things I want to make sure that we don't leave out. For people who don't know, what exactly is an Akashic Record, and what did when you saw the and when you saw that for the first time, and when you go back and look into them, what actually is it?
That's a fair question. When I first started doing this work, reading the records, nobody knew what it was. I mean, I remember I had to do 10 free readings, and it took me months to get people to agree, which is kind of crazy now, because now I have a waiting list of 3,500 plus people that want to have readings with me.
Sure.
But so it's funny how things have evolved and changed. But at the time, nobody knew what they were. And my understanding of the Akashic Records is that it's an energetic record of the universe. So it's just the universe in itself keeping records of everything that happens in the universe. And it also extends out to other universes. So it's not limited to this universe, because we live in a multi-universe reality. So it could extend as far, or as it could be as macrocosm or as microcosm as you want to make it. But we're all contributing to that information. So it comes from all of us. So it's not like a group of beings is keeping tabs on us. It's like our higher selves are inputting this information into this collective library, if you want to call it that.
Is it a physical? Do you see a book? Is it a room? Is it a hologram? Is it what is it a consciousness? So when you what is it for you when you interact with it?
I think a lot of people see it in different ways, so it depends on your frame of reference. So some people will access the records and say, I see this big library and I see a bunch of books, and it looks kind of like something from Hogwarts, or someplace like that. I see it more energetically. So I see it like a sacred geometry, and there's like a multitude of sacred geometry upon sacred geometry. And then I'm tapping into a particular person's Akashic record, which is kind of, I see it like a crystal, maybe. That's just my own personal vision of it. But and then I'm opening the crystal, and then, this beautiful story comes out of it, of this person's soul journey. So it kind of is like, watching a Netflix movie sometimes. Like, you're opening it up and it's like, oh, now I see their story, and I see the whole, what, everything that happened. And it's really beautiful. It's like, and when you're tapping into the records, I think a lot of people don't realize this, but it's like all your clairsenses are involved. So it's not just the visual, it's also the clairaudience, it's the clairsentience, the clairgustance, the claireverything. So you can even feel their feelings. So a lot of times I'm seeing somebody's soul journey and I'm feeling their feelings, and it can be really intense, depending on what hap is happening. And so it's this multi-level experience for the reader. And so I'm trying to take what the information I'm given, and I'm trying to share that with my client in a way that is understandable for them, so
So when you look back, Debbie, because a lot of times it seems like when you and I say you kind of in general, look, the Akashic Records are things that have already happened. Can you tap because when we get beyond the third dimension, time is not linear. When you tap into the Akashic Records, can you then see forward also? if everything's happening at once. So it's not
Oh,
just
yeah.
about where you've been and what race and planet you came from, but like where you're going and
Oh,
what's
totally.
happening.
Yeah. I think that's the misconception that people have is that they think it's like a past life regression, and it's way more than that. So it actually taps into what's going on with you currently, and how that might be, maybe alternate dimensional lives might be impacting that. And then also the future probability. So you can see actually what might be happening to that person a year from now, maybe 5 years from now. But again, this is probability. So, because we're free will beings, we can always change the outcome. So,
Do you
if
see
I,
that, Debbie? Like, and you
oh,
see if
yeah.
you if you see somebody like myself, for instance, like
Yeah.
you can tell I see what's happening with him 5 years from now or whatever. When you run into
Yeah,
people, you
usually,
can.
yeah, sometimes I'll get clients to ask me that, or sometimes I'll just volunteer that information, and I'll see something and I'll say, "Oh, this is a future probability I'm seeing for you, that you're going to be going to Australia." I'm just using Australia as an example,
Sure.
to do this big project, and you might be there for 6 months, so it could be as specific as that. Or it could be as general as I see you shifting out of your day job and you're going to be doing spiritual work and it's going to be an easy transition for you, So it could be as general or as very specific. Just to give you an example, because and the reason why I'm bringing this up is because I just talked to this person yesterday. So I did a reading for a colleague of mine named Jerome Martin, and he's a rising star. He's getting his name out there, and he's been invited to speak at Conscious Life Expo, and he's doing quite well. And he's my Arcturian brother, so I love Jerome. So Jerome and I decided to do an energy exchange about a year ago, and so he does this thing where he takes people on board the light ship, and they could have their own extraterrestrial experience, just like I did. And so I thought it'd be interesting to experience that. And then I did an Akashic reading for him. So in his Akashic reading, I kept seeing this girl. Like it was like towards the end of the reading, and I was like, I keep seeing this girl. And I think you're gonna, and I knew he was single, so I was like, I keep seeing you meeting this girl at a conference, and she has long brown hair, and she's really beautiful, and she's a star seed, and you guys are going to have a wonderful relationship. And he thought I was making it up. He didn't pay any attention to it. He was just like, "Oh, Debbie's just trying to butter me up." I don't know what he was thinking, but then 6 months later, he actually met this girl, and she was exactly as I envisioned her and described her. And
The galactic matchmaker, Debbie.
I know, I. Yeah, just come to me if you can't find your boo, I'll hook you up, So he was so happy because he wanted a relationship, and they were a great match, and they're still together even now, and he's moving to Arizona to live with her, and
Wow, it's
yeah,
great.
so it's really worked out for them. And so it's you can see things like that. You can see ordinary things like that, but you can also see very expansive things. So it's not just limited to,
Got it.
oh, what's my soul journey or my soul purpose? It's also, very specific things that you can tap into that might help that person,
Let's
So, yeah.
talk about because we have a couple minutes. I want to make sure we get this in here. So,
Yeah.
Debbie Solaris, my special guest, galactic historian, Akashic record reader, galactic matchmaker now, and what's going on right now on the planet? What do we need to know about and be aware of? What kind of time frame can you give us? And are you optimistic about what's going to happen? Because as you know, every day, this is like middle of March, it's a crisis every day. You can't even turn on the news without it's so polarizing.
It is.
Whether it's the stock market or Ukraine or Trump or whatever, people are just at each other,
They're
and it
losing
seems
their
like
minds.
and
They're
they're
losing
losing their
their
minds. They are it's like insanity. I see it with some of my friends. They're like they're so locked into their positions on things. It's like, my gosh, I'm at the point of like losing friendships because I'm afraid to even talk about anything with a lot of people now.
Yeah,
And I
I
think
know.
everybody's like that. Everybody's just going to stay at home. So what's going on, and what do we need to know, and are we optimistic about things?
Well, I'm optimistic about it because I actually see some of this chaos that we're experiencing right now as being very, very necessary to break down the old system. So I think there was a reason why, Trump and, had to go into office and why, whether you love Trump, hate him, I did an Akashic reading for him, so I know, where
I
his heart
saw it.
at.
Yep.
Yeah. So if you guys want to check that out, it's on my YouTube channel. But anyway, I do think it was necessary because there was this need to break down the old system, and he had to get somebody like Elon Musk to help him with that, So there's this exponential energy effect that happens when it happens in one country, it starts affecting, everybody else, So I do think it's a good thing. It's going to look really rocky. It's going to look really bad. It's going to look like we're heading into World War III or something crazy like that. But I do think it's necessary to have this breakdown because otherwise, how are we going to bring in a new system? So I do think Nisara Jasara is going to be implemented. For people that don't know what that is, that's the new financial reset, where all debt is going to be wiped out for individual people. We're all going to get a stipend of monies that we was taken from our families, from us for thousands of years. So it's going to be like this equalizing of the wealth, and people's mortgages are going to be, pretty much forgiven. And I mean, it's just going to be this amazing thing. But the other thing I kept seeing in the records is that we're going to have extraterrestrial contact, where everybody's going to know about it, where it's not going to be hidden, where you're not going to have the government trying to say that, oh, it's just a weather balloon or it's some, it's our reverse engineering or, some stupid crazy story, where we're all going to know that we've had visitation. And I think this is going to happen between 2028 and 2032. But like I mentioned before, the timelines can always shift and change. So it could
It seems like
happen.
things are speeding up, doesn't it, Deb?
Oh yeah, totally. I mean, I think it could possibly happen this year or next year. I mean, it's like, I mean, so you don't want to get too stuck on, timelines or, dates, but yeah, I do think that I keep seeing this happening, and I think it's going to be one of our neighbors, so it's going to be one of the extraterrestrial beings that probably it's either Venusian, so I think it might be one of the Venusians from Venus, or it could be Alpha Centaurians because they're the closest star system to Earth that's outside our solar system. So I think we're going to have, and they're probably the closest to us as far as vibrationally speaking. So I mean, they're more advanced, don't get me wrong, but they're not like a sixth dimensional or seventh dimensional Pleiadian being, or some being where we can't even see them because they're so brilliant, So these are our beings that are going to be visiting us, and it's going to open the portal for space exploration and for new technologies that have been hidden from us for hundreds of years, if not thousands of years. And Earth is going to finally become part of the greater galactic family, where we're going to become like Star Trek, where I was kind of joking about this with somebody in another podcast, but it'll be fun when people can say, yes, I'm from Earth and be proud of it, like,
Exactly.
yeah, like
Because
in Star
see,
Trek, So
I love it.
yeah.
So Debbie, thank you so much for being back on Guys Guys Radio. I'm sorry I had to interrupt a few times. I just have so many questions and I can't
I
hold back.
know.
And you
And
have so much
sometimes I,
information.
yeah, no, it's okay. I sometimes forget that not everybody knows my terminology, so I appreciate the interjections.
Listen, thank you so much, Debbie. It's always a
Yeah.
pleasure to have you back on Guys Guys Radio. I'm so thrilled for your success and the great work you're doing for humanity. And I urge everybody, go to Debbie's website. We only touched the surface of all the information that Debbie
It's
can
like the
share.
tippy tippy tip of the iceberg. So
Exactly.
much
But
more where that comes from.
it is
Yeah.
a tasty, interesting iceberg, though.
Yeah,
So thank you so much, Debbie. We'll see you again soon, I hope.
Thank you.
Okay.
The station that makes you feel good. station that makes you feel good.
Wow, what a conversation with Debbie Solaris. Always a pleasure. Always so interesting when I host her on Guys Guys Radio. And she's a wonderful person and really has this gift of working with her guides and doing the Akashic Record readings. And she's become a true expert in galactic history and has great background information. If you go to her website, which is beautiful, it's got all information on the different races that are out there. And you start to weave together what the past, the present, and the future could look like for humanity and all the other interdimensional neighbors that we have out there and lineages that we have out there. Maybe you can figure out for yourself, are you a starseed? Maybe you're here for a special reason. And the reason Debbie's here, as well as some other folks, as starseeds, is to be able to help humanity kind of wake up out of our slumber and rediscover who we are, what we are, what we have to offer, and kind of how we serve. And I think Debbie does a wonderful job of that in a very interesting way through her Akashic Record readings. And again, she's a wonderful person and a great interview, and she's got so much information. And you can catch her on a lot of the shows on Gaia. She's been on with Regina Meredith and George Norrie, and of course here on Guys Guys Radio. And there is just so much about galactic history that it's just an open book, and there's so much there. So I hope you'll take the time to check out Debbie's work and learn a lot more. I can't encapsulate it right now based on a conversation we just had. There's just so much to it, but the crack of the door is kind of open here. So check it out for yourself, Debbie Solaris. Okay, thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of Guys Guys Radio on UK Health Radio. We're back next week with another great show. And until then, like I always say, guys, finish first.